bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our closest relationships is the topic of the day. Do you remember the fruit of the Spirit that we listed last week from Colossians 3? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, love, peace, and thankfulness. Do we want to put on these clothes so that God will let us into heaven? We said last week that we're on a journey, and our journey has a destination, which is heaven. So are we trying to be more like Christ in order to earn a spot in heaven? If we're good enough, maybe God will let us in. I hope that's not your idea of salvation. If you've been hanging around here, you know better. We do not earn our way in. We cannot earn our way to glory. So if that's true, why should we live lives worthy of the Lord? Why not just take care of number one? Well, here are some reasons. How about to simply reflect God's nature so that He is glorified? How about we bear good fruit so that other people can know Jesus? What if putting on the fruit of the Spirit strengthens us and empowers us for the journey? What if mature faith makes us better and happier citizens? And it does. What if filling us with His Spirit pleases God? And it does. Are those good reasons? To put on His character. What we're going to read today has to be understood as an extension of what we've already learned. If we just took this section by itself, we'd get in all kinds of trouble. So we want to remember that we set our minds on the things of Christ. We put off the old ways of the world, and we clothe ourselves with the virtues of Christ for many reasons, including better relationships here on earth. It turns out that people who are mature in their faith make good partners and friends and parents and co-workers. Now, this passage we're going to read here in Galatians 3 is not a full teaching on relationships. It is especially not a conclusive teaching on marriage and family. But it gets us started. It gets the conversation started. My warning here is, do not take one or two phrases out of the scripture and claim to know about marriage and family. And don't use them as a weapon. All right? If you don't know where I'm headed, you'll see it here in just a second. But let's warm up with verse 17, Colossians 3:17. We read it last week. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. That's just a pretty good criteria for judging any action we take on. If you're wondering, should I do this or not, ask yourself, can I do this in the name of Christ? And with that as our background, we move on to verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children. Or your translation may say exasperate. Don't exasperate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, but and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ who you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And you see why I would mention, don't just pick a phrase out of here and use it as a weapon. Be careful with these words. They in Paul's letter, he was reminding them of some things he had taught before. Now, obviously, the first relationship addressed here is marriage. Is this where we fail most? Is this where our failures are most costly? In our marriages? What if we take off the old life and put to death the things that lead us into temptation, and we put on the virtues of Christ-like behavior toward our spouse every day? Treat our spouse with compassion and kindness and gentleness and forgiveness and humility, and our marriages will last longer and be much sweeter. When we put on the character of Christ, it brings a little bit of heaven to earth. Do you believe that? When we put on the character of Christ, it brings a little bit of heaven to earth. Do you want to be an implement of heaven? Isn't that a grand opportunity? And that's why Paul mentions families and co-workers toward the end of his letter here. Can our marriage be strengthened by putting on the fruit of the Spirit? Absolutely. Can our family be strengthened and happier? Sure. Can our work relations be better if we put on the clothes of Christ-like behavior? Our family relations are most important, and we need to learn how to build each other up rather than tear each other down. Work relations that Paul refers to here as slavery. We're going to talk about that in a little bit different context. In our context, work relations as an employee. Is your job stressful? The staff saying, yeah. Most of our jobs have stress in them because work's hard, because conditions might be hard, because we may not be skilled for the job we're doing. It causes stress, and then we boil over. We don't act right. And then we bring it home, and we take it out on the ones closest to us. If I sound like I've done this, it's because I have. My family probably bears the wounds. Sometimes we mistreat each other on the job rather than manage those relationships with concern for the other person. I wanted to take us back to Ephesians 5. There's a little more explanation in Ephesians 5. Same topic, same writer, but a little more explanation. So if you have a printed Bible, go backwards to Ephesians 5. If you have a phone, do whatever you need to do to go to Ephesians 5, starting in verse 21. Again, same topic. Ephesians 5:21, submit yourself to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I like where he starts there. Submit to each other. Voluntary mutual submission. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, So also wives, submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Marriage is God's design to show us tangibly how we, the church, relate to Christ. Our marriage is meant to model the relationship between us, the church, and Christ as head of the church. It brings a new understanding to marriage when you see it that way. The main purpose of marriage is not for our pleasure. It's not for the production of children. The main purpose of marriage is to reflect God's plan for his church. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, I've never heard that before. Okay, but I think that's what it says. I wonder how many young men understand that when they say, I do. I didn't. Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the bride of Christ. God intends our homes to reflect the church. He intends for the husband to be the head of the household, the leader, the spiritual leader of the home and the family. Our society is largely different than the society to whom Paul was writing. I mean, he's writing to the people in Colossae here in this letter. That's in a Greek environment. He's writing primarily to Gentile believers, people who've come out of a Greek culture. But he also writes to Hebrew people as well. And let me just read a little bit of description of how both Hebrew people and Greek people viewed marriage and the role of women. This is from a commentary by a well-known fellow. Under Jewish law, a woman was a thing, a possession of her husband, just as much as his house or his flocks or his material goods. She had no legal rights whatever. For instance, under Jewish law, a husband could divorce his wife for any cause, while a wife had no rights at all in the initiation of divorce. And the only grounds on which a divorce might be awarded her were if her husband developed leprosy, gave up his beliefs, or sexually assaulted a virgin. Now, in Greek society, he says, a respectable woman lived a life of entire seclusion. She never appeared on the streets alone, not even to go shopping. She lived in the women's apartments and did not join the men of the household even for meals. Complete servitude and chastity were demanded of her, but her husband could go out as much as he chose and could enter into as many relationships outside of marriage as he liked without incurring any social criticism. Under both Jewish and Greek laws and custom, all the privileges belonged to the husband and all the duties to the wife. So I think you can see that this Christian teaching was revolutionary in their day. What Paul's saying here, even though he says, wives, submit to your husband, he's saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. That lifts the place of women. That ordains the place of women in the church and in the family. Then, as we read, they were to be treated more like slaves, isolated, uneducated, completely subservient, like you would see in Shia Islam communities today. Now, in our society, American society, we're mostly on the opposite end of the spectrum, aren't we? I mean, we seek absolute individual freedom with no boundaries and no definition, and this has caused our homes to be dysfunctional. And so this letter applies to us just as much now as it did in the first century. Our need to call people back to the biblical model of family is as severe as it was in the first century Colossae or Ephesus. Christ is head of the church. And we submit to Christ. We voluntarily submit to Christ. Wives should submit to their husband. Husbands must love their wife as Christ loved the church. By the way, men, that is an incredibly high standard. Love your wife as Christ loves the church. And on our own, we are incapable of perfectly loving our spouses that way. We're just not good enough. Husbands, put on the character of Christ so that you can love your wife, the way she should be loved. Help her be a gemstone who radiantly reflects the love of God. This is why a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Men, if we get our relationship with Christ right and we reflect his character in our marriage, then our wives will be the partners we need. Our children will learn what real love is. Our children will learn to submit correctly to the Lord. Our children will be blessed and not exasperated. But what happens when men fail to lead their families well? Dysfunction happens. And someone has to step up or step in and lead the family, and that is usually the wife. Now, I know it's not that way every time. We're all dysfunctional at times. We all go our own way. We have, for more than a century in America, had this lust for individual liberation that has led us down a path of destruction. And we must reclaim the biblical model for marriage and family. We must teach young men what it means to be a husband and a father in the ways of Christ, to put on his character. A Christian husband and father loves his wife as Christ loves the church. He is not harsh with his children in ways that tear them down. He treats his wife as his greatest treasure. And that's not always easy, is it? Because we're fallible. We're fallible people. We're corrupt. We're naturally selfish. When we're the right kind of husband, it's no problem for most wives to follow our leadership. And as I say, I know there are exceptions. But when we tear them down or we fail to lead them well, they will look somewhere else or go their own way. Sometimes they have to go their own way just to look out for the family. Men, and if it seems like I'm harping on men today, I am. It's our job to lead the family. If you don't know how, if you didn't have a good example when you were growing up, then get some help. That excuse will not last forever. This is how the world should know what church means, by seeing our families operate. Christ leads, and we voluntarily submit to Him because it's best. It's best. Parents, put on the fruit of the Spirit as you lead your children. Love them. Train them. Require good behavior. Hold them to high standards, but do not exasperate them. We're not cruel taskmasters. We're not drill sergeants barking orders. And how many of us have made that mistake? We need to be skilled at building children into adults. This is making disciples in its best form. We say that our mission is making disciples. Parents, this is our job, to make disciples in the home. It's God's design. In both Colossians and Ephesians, there are instructions to slaves, or your translation may say bondservant. Now, first of all, know that the arrangements that Paul was speaking to were far different than the illegal slavery of today. No comparison. There was not a comparison of that servitude to the African slaves in colonial America. He's not speaking to the same thing. And any use of this kind of scripture to justify slavery is just absolutely wrong. It may even seem surprising that the Bible has instructions for slaves and masters, but there is a good application for us, and I've already mentioned it. The best application for us is the workplace. Workers, do your job well, and not just when somebody's looking. You know that. Do your job well, as if you're doing it for the Lord, because you are. And the world is watching. Do your work as if you're working for the Lord. Your reward will come from the Lord. Employers, treat your employees fairly and justly. You represent the Lord. If you are a Christian boss, you're representing the Lord in those relationships. And people are learning about the church from your behavior. I hope they're learning the right thing. Our relationships at home, at work, at school should move people toward God. We represent Him. Let us put on His character. Represent Him well, building people up instead of tearing them down. Now, we have to do warning and teaching and counseling and supporting and encouraging. And we want to bring the fruit of the Spirit to bear in our relationships, because it brings glory to God. It points people to Jesus, and it makes us better people. God enjoys seeing His reflection in you. Think about that. It brings God pleasure to see His character reflected in you. That alone is reason enough to put on the fruit of the Spirit. Let me wrap up with just a bit there left in chapter 4, Colossians 4. Sweet words. You can picture a dear old saint, eyes fading, somebody else writing this for him, just saying this to people that he cares about, even though he's never met them. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Listen, when God's word is taught, the Holy Spirit uses His word to convict us of our sin. The Holy Spirit illuminates the need for change in our lives. Please do not neglect the Spirit. Pay attention and change what needs to be changed. It's incremental. It's a process. Sometimes it's a long process. But commit yourself to putting on the clothes of Christ. Ask for help if you need it. Put on compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Add forbearance and forgiveness. Seek the peace of Christ, which goes far beyond our understanding. Let's pray, and then the music team will come and lead us in worshiping the Lord with song.